Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Things have wrapped up in this second division English soccer game I had on. Is it second division? It's the one below Premier League, Championship. I'm not sure if they call that, they might even call that first division. But Leicester over Birmingham, 2-0. Love learning about new names, new English soccer team names. Cheltenham is one that I didn't know before today. Cheltenham. Plymouth Argyle is one. And what did we get from the team that beat Manchester United? Grimsby Town. That's nice. It seems like there's an endless array of cool English soccer town names. With me now on the, I'm sure he shares this opinion, Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline, leaving his podcast appearance down in Irving. Big college weekend, Sal, before we get to the NFL season. Your Orange are in Atlanta to face Tennessee. Texas, Ohio State is the headliner. And I was thinking of that when I was thinking about, you know, the Bills opening with Baltimore. Because you've got this Ravens game and then, you know, several games in a row where the Bills might be or are pretty big favorites. Do you like it that way for them with this, you know, maybe the hardest game on their schedule right away?
Yeah, well, first of all, speak for yourself. The headliner is Syracuse and Tennessee, I would say.
Okay.
No,
fine.
Last night I was watching the UB game and, who was it? Myers calling the game and he said, I can't remember a week one this good. Like, how many really good football games there are this weekend in week one. And there have been some really nice ones over the years, but this is amazing. Yeah, I do from a college standpoint. I don't love it from the NFL standpoint. Last year, I really liked when the Bills opened with the Cardinals because you remember the year before was Monday night, the year before was Thursday night, right. This year Sunday night. I kind of like a nice routine Sunday 1 p.m. game. You have all these other really big games later. You have 17 games in the year, you know, then and you play them as you go. College is different. Now they are playing, like, what, 11 games now, 12, whatever. I know that it's there's more. You only play teams once, even in your conference. And when you step outside the conference, that's when you do it. You do it early in the season to get it going. So I like the real good matchup early in the season like this.
Yeah. The soft open last year that was Arizona, and that was a good game. You know, the Cardinals got ahead in that game, and the Bills were tested. Well, we don't have to wait until next week, but we haven't really dug in on the Ravens matchup, and I'm not sure there's really much new. I mean, we've talked about these teams together, of course, multiple times before. Do you see them the way the betting markets do? The way the playoff game was is pretty much dead even.
Yeah, absolutely I do. I think they are very even teams. I think the game, like last year, could come down to a couple turnovers here or there. I mean, I thought the Ravens outplayed the Bills overall last year, but the Bills got the turnovers, and that's what helped them win the game. It was a big deal. So I think a game like that, there was a couple, you know, the drop pass, of course, by Mark Andrews, and he had a couple of tough plays in that game, including a turnover and a fumble. That's, to me, what a game like this comes down to. I think it's two even teams, so you make one or two critical mistakes, and it swings the game. I don't think it's an indictment on the loser to being the worst team, the lesser team. We saw that last year. The Bills beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs still finished ahead in the standings. The Ravens beat the Bills. The Bills still finished ahead in the standings. So I do find them very, very equal, I guess, to one another. I think, you know, when you say anything new, that's right. Nothing is, but I think what we're monitoring is the injuries, right? For the Bills, it's just a bunch of guys, mainly Tre'Davious White, and now Christian Benford a little bit, Curtis Samuel. And for the Ravens, it's Isaiah Likely, because I think he's a really big part of what they do. It'd be tough for me to see him already playing a ton in week one, considering he's come back from that foot injury. But it'll be interesting if he's on the field practicing next week.
I'm guessing he doesn't. I don't know, but it sounded like an eight-week injury. They did not put him on IR. The conversations we've had about Trey White and even Max Hairston, who did end up going to IR for at least 4 weeks. Well, the injuries are a big thing, and spotlight on the secondary, as we've talked about a lot, with Trey White in mind, and even the uncertainty at the safety position, Sal, if that's even the word at this point. It was a couple of weeks ago when I was on with Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panayotovich yesterday on their Bet Sweats show. Joe asked me what is like the biggest area of concern for the Bills, and he later told me, I really thought you'd say receiver, which, you know, that's our brand and everything. But it's the secondary, and the line did move toward Baltimore, which I think might be as much of because of the Trey White situation as anything else. Not that the Bills still aren't favored by a smidge there, but secondary was going into the offseason and is going into the season for me, and maybe for you, that the answer to that question.
I would agree. To me, secondary and defensive line was always the biggest need heading into the offseason. And we can go back to January, February, really after March, after free agency, you know, and I was pretty strong on the fact that they would spend a lot of draft capital on that side of the ball and mostly at defensive line, and they're going to draft a corner somewhere pretty high. It turned out it was their first pick, which is Max Hairston, and then they did go defensive line with the next couple of picks. They also obviously went out and they signed Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, then we find out he's suspended, Larry Ogunjobi, find out he's suspended. So, yeah, I think they approached this offseason, Mike, with the same answer from an organizational standpoint to what you're saying, which is, you know, where are the deficiencies or where do you have to address? And that included secondary when you went out and signed Tre'Davious White, you signed Dane Jackson, you take Max Hairston with your first overall pick. So to me, it was both secondary and defensive line. But I think in this type of league, the way that you play in this game, like secondary was always a bit of a concern because you have to go out there and defend so much of the field against these great quarterbacks and receivers.
Right. We tend to, I think, collectively look down on the Dolphins, who the Bills will have here in week three. But, you know, there is, you know, there's danger in that passing game if the Bills are less than right in the secondary. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope, and Bulldog is off today. Well, I was looking at a chart that made the rounds today after the Micah Parsons trade about pressure rate and how Dallas has ranked, maybe this was a PFF chart, I'm not sure, might have been, first in the league over the last few years in creating pressure. And the Bills' line, you know, going through, say, the last 5 years, they were up there until last year, and then last year it dropped off. I'm thinking about Bosa here, Sal. Like, what are your expectations for him? Healthy to start the season? How much will he play? And how good can he be?
You know, Mike, I've thought about this. I just did the pod with Matt, as you know, Matt Bove. We were out here, you know, at Signals, and we talked about Bosa a little bit and this kind of thing. Not the same way you framed it, but super interesting for me because I find myself not – I'm stopping myself from getting as kind of excited of what he can be because I really think that he looked good in camp and he looked healthy in camp. And I think if Joey Bosa is healthy, I think he could be a real difference maker on this team. And I'm stopping myself short of believing that to be the case simply because he's had the injury concerns and the Bills have been down this road before with other players, namely obviously Von Miller. But I do think that the way he's looked in camp, how healthy he's been, and the fact that he's rolling into the season healthy, it is a really encouraging sign and could be extremely beneficial to this defense. How much he plays, honestly, like, I think that, you know, he'll be out there quite a bit. And, yeah, there's going to be load management, but I don't think load management to me has to mean for this guy, well, we're just going to, you know, monitor his reps during the game. I think it's more like, when can we give him a little break? Like, what's the score in the fourth quarter? What's the situation? Is it a game where it's just – and, by the way, he's not a bad run defender. Not saying he would come off the field in run situations, but, you know, maybe when it's a different situation and it's more of a run game type of game, that he's not on the field as much. And when you're going passing, he is. But I think he's going to be out there quite a bit, to be honest.
A caller a day or two ago made a point, just sort of a passing comment, that the Bills have a better roster than a year ago. And I sat with that and tried to analyze it. I actually, when doing so, was comparing starting lineups and had sort of Hoyt and Ogunjobi kind of slipped my mind when thinking about this. And I appreciate that it was brought to my attention. You know, those are two, especially Hoyt, I mean, important, relatively important acquisitions, if not very, in terms of Hoyt. I think that could be really interesting. But the offense, the starting 11, is probably the same as last year. It was Coleman and Shakir on the field. It, you know, I think it's the first play by how they do it, starting lineup. But could be the same 11 guys as last year. Defensively, there are some changes. How would you put that? Would you just sort of could you easily say it's a better roster than last year? I know we don't know what the rookies are going to be yet, especially Hairston.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Offensively, it would be the same, except for maybe Joshua Palmer is in.
Yep.
Right? And who they lose? Amari Cooper and Mac Hollins. So really, you're really exchanging one for one with Hollins because Cooper wasn't there yet. So I don't think there's anything different there. Okay, so defensively, it is tough because Hoyt isn't going to be on the field yet. You got to wait 6 games for him. I thought he was the best defender at training camp for the Bills, if you give an indication. I think that's how much he can help the team. I thought Michael Hoyt, from start of training camp through the final preseason game, was the best defensive player on the Buffalo Bills roster. Now, some of that is opportunity going against second and third stringers because they played him more, right? So that being said, I do want to have that caveat. So I do think that's an upgrade about him being on the roster and what he can do. I don't have it in front of me. Maybe you can look at it. Bobe, it's funny, he just said this to me the other day. We're out of the facility. He said, Sal, have you gone back and looked at who started in that Arizona game for them on defense?
I have it.
Like, no. He said, go look at who started on defense compared to who's starting on defense this year. And, like, his takeaway was, and I don't have it in front of me, maybe you can find it.
I have it.
His takeaway was, oh, my goodness, like, yes, it's a much better defense now. Like, Matt Milano wasn't on the field that game. Taron Johnson, by the way, he went out of that game. He got hurt in that game, and he went out, and I forgot about that. They lost Taron Johnson in the middle of that game. So, yeah, I just by judging by that and thinking about it, I think that they have to be better, at least, I think, from your starting 22.
It is different. I'm not sure how quick I'd be to say better. I mean, Milano had such a great career. You'd probably have to give him the nod over Dorian Williams a year ago. It's Bosa instead of Epinesa. Epinesa isn't bad. We'll see what Bosa is, but you can be excited there. It's Bishop over Hamlin, assuming Bishop starts against Baltimore.
A total unknown, for sure. That could go either way.
That could go either way. And it's Trey White, maybe, instead of Rasul Douglas. And I would not be I'm not ready to give Trey White the nod there. I mean, even if he's healthy. I think that could be, I don't know. Douglas last year, Sal, no picks. He played the whole season. And I know they won all the time, but we were never in here after games being like, what's wrong with Rasul Douglas? I mean, it wasn't at a high level, and you didn't get those plays, like I said, but I didn't remember thinking all year that he was getting them beat, like Elam did. You know, Elam was another matter. So, I don't know, like, if Trey White has that season, which, you know, it's saying, like, assuming a lot, it's just no interceptions, everything that went with it, but I'm not sure if it's that good or bad. It's sort of neutral for me.
It's interesting you say that. I do remember a lot of talk about Rasul Douglas last year, but you're right. It wasn't in the manner that, like, oh, my God, he got cooked. It was plain as day to see. For me, going back and watching and listening and looking at other people break things down, it was more about he just didn't make plays that he may have made the year before.
Yeah.
And that means, like, when the ball was in the air, instead of making a play, guy catches and he tackles him, right? So you're not, like, seeing him get beat down the field. But their teams went after him, and he didn't come up with the same sort of stops that he did the year before. That was the thing about Russell Douglas that I remember last year. And that's, I think, what translated to him not having those picks, whereas the year before, he was making plays on the football, and he just didn't make those plays last year. It was more like, okay, guy catches it, he tackles him in front of him. So he's not getting beat, you're not seeing that, but you're also not seeing the game-changing play. So we'll see. I don't know what's going to be happening with Tre'Davious White. Now, there's two parts to this. Is he healthy? Next Wednesday is the first day that we can find out if he practices, if he's going to have an injury designation, exactly what that injury is that's listed if he does have an injury designation. We'll see about that. And then the second part is, if he is healthy, is he good enough? Is he going to help the team? Is he going to be a quality level starting cornerback in the NFL? I think those things definitely remain to be seen right now.
Right. Yeah, a defense can get in trouble quick if there's a, you know, a weak link. And whether it's him or his replacement, if he's not healthy, you know that teams are going to try to exploit that. We'll see how that goes if that happens, but you know they'll try. A few minutes left here with Sal Capaccio. When we spoke yesterday, we did not have the Micah Parsons news yet. I hate every time to sound the way I how I think everybody else sounds. You know, it's just so one-way traffic on this trade and how big of an embarrassment Jerry Jones is, calling him Michael Parsons too, like, that had to be intentional. Yikes, Sal. Do you have a cleverer angle on this trade to make Dallas, you know, look better than it sounds like most of us think, or maybe not?
No, not really. I think that they, the thing for me about Dallas was that they were forced into a situation that they could have controlled from the start, right? Like they were at a point where they kind of had to make this deal and get something done, but that's because of themselves and their own doing. And it goes back to something I've always said about Jerry Jones, at least over the last several years, which is Jerry Jones has long believed and still believes, and it's just not true anymore, and maybe at one time it was true, that there is just some special thing and allure about playing for the Dallas Cowboys that everybody knows that he does not have to do what other owners have to do. I won't own the Dallas Cowboys. There's a star on the side of the helmet. We're the Dallas Cowboys. We're America's team. So you should be grateful that we want you to play for us, and therefore you don't have to sign to a larger contract, and I don't expect you to sign a larger contract. That is not the case anymore. The Dallas Cowboys have not been good in a quarter of a century, more than that. And I think that Jerry Jones doesn't understand that.
Yeah, I wonder what happens to the team now. Like, were they expecting... Some people were expecting this trade. I think in the public, we were not. I wonder what the players' expectations were about this. I mean, mine were that they just sign him last minute and he plays against Philadelphia on Thursday night. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. So, what's your guess? Does the team come apart? Or
no, I think already. I think in Dallas, that happens anyway, just because there's so much going on. There's so much distraction. It's all about the noise. It's not about the football in Dallas. So I think that definitely think that can happen here. I don't think they're talented enough anyway to compete for with the Eagles for the division. I mean, who knows? Maybe they have a great game next Thursday and they wind up winning. And everybody says, oh, my God, look what happened. Micah Parsons got traded. And as you always say, you wait for the results before then you have the narrative after, right? Maybe that happens. I just don't think they're good enough to compete. And probably not with Washington either, to be quite honest with you. I think maybe the more interesting facet of it is from the other side. I think what the Packers did is fascinating to me.
Sure.
I mean, they're going for it. They believe they have a Super Bowl team, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. I don't know if I'm there on Jordan Love, like they must feel he's there, or maybe they don't, which is why they wanted to get the pass rusher and say, we got to have a little help there because we don't have a tier one quarterback over here, even though he's really good and we like him. Also, for many years, this is not something the Packers would do. They would not do something like this, pretty much ever. Andrew Brandt wrote about this. Andrew Brandt, who worked in their front office, basically totally dismissed the Packers when it was first coming up. Like, no, this is not something they do. But remember, Mark Murphy is no longer the president there. He's from Clarence, Mark Murphy. He's no longer the president. Do you know who the president is now of the Green Bay Packers?
No.
Eddie Policy, Carmen Policy's son.
Oh, I wonder how he got that job.
And he came from the Niners, right? Like, I mean, the Niners lineage, where you know, winning Super Bowls and I think being aggressive and you know, go back in the Deion Sanders, things like that, right? Like, I mean, just like this is – I just think it's kind of a different thing for the Packers now.
Yeah. Yeah, Elliot Wolf is the Patriots GM now, right?
Right.
And or
yeah.
Vice President of Player – I wonder how he got – oh, right, Ron Wolf's son. Sure, yeah, makes sense. Yesterday they were writing about how awful his first year was. Yeah, geez, you know he's qualified. He's got to be qualified, though. All right, sorry if I sound bitter. Sal, enjoy Labor Day weekend, and we will fire things up week one next week.
All right, you got it. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor, your place to buy a case. Outlet liquor, what's your outlet? Yes to the Green Bay points, but Parsons is young. Like, this does not have to be, this is not Von Miller. You know, this is a player that you'd want to have retire for your team in 7 or 8 years or whatever that might be. I'm not thinking that it might be a shorter shelf life than, say, a quarterback, but who knows? Like, this is short-term and long-term. And we saw yesterday their betting lines move as soon as this trade became public, you know, in their favor, of course. But I think if they don't win this year, I mean, you can ask the questions about Jordan Love independently. But if he's good or even very good, they don't win this year, you might like him just as much next year, right? I mean, Parsons is, I mean, he was on his first contract, I think. 803-0550 for your calls. I heard a listener call in this morning and say he was glad that the Bills wouldn't have made this move. I want to be careful with the wording, wouldn't have made this move. And Jeremy and Joe both said, well, we don't know that. In fact, I think they would have. If they had the player, what would have happened? They wouldn't have traded him. They would have signed him, you know, if the player was agreeable. So I think that's right. I think, you know, yesterday we heard from some fans that were frustrated that the Bills didn't do this specific thing or something like it. Hendrickson, you know, the big names that we have fun talking about in the offseason every year. I didn't think that was so fair. I mean, they've won a lot, but they haven't won at all. What do you think? Lines are open for your calls. I'll be back after the update. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back. Just checking the longer term forecast here for, well, next Sunday. 69 and sunny, and then 75 and 78 to follow. So that's a week from, you know, that's the Bills opener and then the days to follow. Sounds like it could or should be perfect for that game. They can start to taste it. Ravens, Bills, and as you don't need me to tell you, if you follow this stuff, a lot very well may ride on it. I mean, the Bills had, they started 3-0, but then the two losses to Baltimore and Houston set them back in the standings in a way that just was almost, would have been hard to believe. I mean, what was Kansas City? Kansas City was undefeated because they were undefeated when they came here. And they wouldn't have had their bye week that early, right? So would you have been 3-2 with the Chiefs at 5-0 through week 5 last year? Probably. Their bye week was in week 6. So you start 3-0 like they did, and then you lose to the Ravens, which, you know, I'm sure we were talking that week about what could be at stake there. Baltimore had already lost a game, I know, by then. But still, and then the Texans game. And now you're two back of Kansas City, but with 12 games left and one against the Chiefs. Imagine, I mean, maybe this is not crazy to you, but I think it would have been to me. Imagine thinking that the Bills would go, let's see, 12 left, right? 3-2. They would have gone 10-1 from there. No, 9-2 from there. Why is this so hard? Hang on a minute. Because they lost the last week to New England. They ended up with the 4 losses, 13 wins. From 3-2 to 13-3, 10-1. That was right. Losing only the game to the Rams. I mean, you totally would have thought that should have been good enough to get to week 18 with a chance against a kind of lousy Patriots team that had incentive to lose. How it wasn't with Kansas City playing the way it did will just always be a source of frustration. You know, 3-2. The point was originally that the early season Ravens game felt like it meant a great deal, and it turned out that it did, because one different result, one of the 3 losses being a win, would have been enough to at least force Kansas City into action for that final game. And you remember what happened. They started Carson Wentz, who's now in Minnesota, by the way. They started Carson Wentz, and they got completely destroyed by the Broncos. Like, they just, they treated the game as a joke, which essentially was basically the equivalent of 2 weeks off before the playoffs. And then it was the Texans. They were a cut above the Texans. So such a big edge. Nothing new here. I know, nothing new here. But basically 2 weeks off, not just getting the one, but getting it a week ahead. And then the bye, and then the Texans. And then it's the one game, the AFC Championship, the Bills. That was it. Kansas City went from, I mean, this doesn't really treat the Texans very kindly, but pretty much went from week 17, whoever they beat that week, to clinch the one. That would have been the Steelers. Oh, on Christmas, we watched that game. That did it, right? That got them to 15-1, and the Bills then had no shot at them. So from Christmas to January 26th in the AFC Championship, a month and a day where there was just very little sweating to do for the Chiefs. So early season Ravens, you get it, and it's Baltimore that can have the anxiety this year about seeding, and they're in a tougher division, so they've got, you know, that to wrestle with. It won't be comfortable if they lose their opener here. Bills lose at home, though, to Baltimore, and that's sort of like a loss and a half almost. It's obviously in the conference to a team that's battling with you. That would be a bigger win for the Ravens to get on the road to start their year. They started last year in Kansas City, lost by an inch on that likely play in the end zone where he was just out of bounds. That would feel great for them to get a road win in Buffalo to start the season. So just like it's a huge game right away. You already knew that. Let's go to John here next. Hi, John.
I couldn't agree with you more on the source of frustration it's been with all that. When you look back at when they changed the rule to only the one seed getting the first round bye, I think it's something crazy. Like, since then, if it's been 6 years, we would have had the first round bye five of those 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, testament to how good the Chiefs have been.
Right.
And how good we've been. And it's just the slimmest of errors can cost you the first round bye, and how much could have been different if they never changed the rule or whatever.
Yeah, right, because you're not going to get home field in the AFC Championship as the two, of course, but you would get the week off. And I will say, thank you, John, I thought it was perfect the old way. I thought the NFL playoff format was perfect. It's another one of these things that nobody asked for, the seventh playoff team. You know, like, nobody asked for that. Did anybody think, you know what, geez, there just aren't enough mediocre teams that make the playoffs. We really need, we need two more, one in each conference. We need to do that. It absolutely did augment, enhance the advantage in ways we've described and that you already know, that the one seed gets. And I just think with the imbalances in the schedule, it's just tough. I think it's probably better football too. If, you know, like, you think of the Bills maybe more 2 years ago, just that less worn out for that game. It's just a fairer fight. I probably sound like a homer to somebody who is just driving through, or anybody else. Like, I'm not saying any of this because of the Bills' fate. It's just what it is, what it is. But I always thought it was perfect with the two byes. Then 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. Or even going back to, you know, prior to that, it was the three division winners would get a bye, and then the wild card would be 4 versus 5. And, you know, that was fine. But 6 seemed okay, too. 7, some of these 7 seeds, do they ever win? I think it's happened.
It has happened once.
Was it Green Bay-Dallas?
Green Bay-Dallas.
That was a 7 versus a 2, and Green Bay blew them out.
Yep.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, the Steelers really are the picture next to, they're on the graphic for this point. Those 7-seed Steeler teams that have just gotten rolled by the Bills and the Chiefs. And then last year, the Ravens, who were the 3, I guess. That's a 3-6. And Denver was the 7. Denver got rolled here. I mean, they, what, 34-7 or whatever, 31-7? Yeah, I liked it the old way. Who needed it? So many things we get from sports in the form of changes. Nobody wanted it. Nobody, look at what they've done to the baseball playoffs, you know. Just, I don't even feel like I could tell you right now exactly how they work. But did we need 85 win teams, or, you know, on that kind of pace to make September more interesting for their fans? I don't know. I saw somebody write this recently, I think. I don't remember who. But when I was growing up, it was in baseball, 4 divisions, 2 in the American, 2 in the National. The American League divisions had 7 teams each. The National League divisions had 6. And somebody pointed out that in those days, like, if you were a middling team, you know, you weren't going to win the division. Some teams winning 100 games and you're winning like 78 or something like that. You have no aspirations of the playoffs. You had to finish first to make the playoffs. You would have been, if you were a fan of whoever, the Brewers or somebody, like, that was never going to happen. But did we all just lose interest in the sport in these towns? Like, did that just completely die? No. Somebody pointed out how it was meaningful to pass teams in the standings. You know, like you weren't playing for the playoffs, but you were playing for fourth. And like that would have been your focus. The teams too, I would imagine. But like the fans would have been focused on that. And then baseball eventually decided, like all sports do, that that wasn't good enough. We have to get these middling teams into the postseason, or at least give them a realistic shot at it. And like, if you're not a Brewers fan in that example, bad example, they're great this year, and they're in Toronto this weekend. Bieber for Toronto tonight, I think. So that should be good. But if you're a fan of one of those middle teams, was it that bad? Like, did you need to get to the playoffs and then probably lose? I mean, that's fun. It just kind of cheapened it all. And I don't know.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Marisa's.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
At the risk of just sounding old, it was definitely better, I would say. The point was really more about the football playoffs and seeding, and I totally think that, and like the caller does. And college is, you know, an eye roll for me too, because we got to the playoff and that was kind of cool. And let's expand it. You know, I always said it, when I was working at ESPN, I was saying this, and that was 20 years ago, like whatever kind of number you want a college football playoff, fine. Whatever number of teams you go with, immediately you will think it was not enough. And the same griping that colleges do when they're not, you know, invited to the big bowl game, or they're not, you know, in the national championship conversation, even though they were 12-0 in some lesser conference. The same griping that was, will it still exist? It'll just be like a tier down, because four teams make the playoffs, but wait to year for the fifth team is on line one. And then it was what, 8 or 16? Like it's never enough. The basketball tournament, which was perfect for, they had to have, you know, eight more teams or whatever it is. Like, it's just all money, right? They just have to keep adding to it. It's never what we want. Nobody asks for it, but it's the way it goes. Break here, and then we'll talk some more. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.